Second Chronicles chapter 20, if you can see some of this. Second Chronicles chapter 20 is going to take us to a text, and I'm going to break it up and teach some principles as we go through it, but I am going to use the whole text. Too many times nowadays, we don't use the Bible in sermons, and around here we try to make that different. And we try to learn from the Scripture. That's our text for life and learning, faith and practice. And we're going to do the whole section, all 30 verses. Some of you are going, it's already 11 o'clock. We'll get there. All right. So, the Syrian Empire is up here. You can see Syria. You can see modern countries, Iran, Iraq, Lebanon, and Israel. Just a little sliver along here. You have Jordan here, and you have Saudi Arabia. But in this section over here, the Syrian Empire stretched, or the Assyrian Empire stretched. And we're going to be dealing with the Assyrians coming down to attack some of Israel. So that puts it in context of where we're speaking of this morning. So 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 1 through 30. And to summarize as we begin, the New King James is what I'm using. Moab, Ammon, and others come up against Israel to battle. Who remembers who Moab and Ammon were? Lot's. Yeah, right. The incestuous sons of Lot. But they still were family. Maybe they weren't proud of their family. How many are proud of every member of your family? Okay. All right. And others, they come up, though, against Israel to battle. Now, in the Joshua time, how many remember that Joshua was not allowed by God to invade the lands of these people? Ammon and Moab. Jehoshaphat is the leader now that we're talking about. And Jehoshaphat in this text is a fantastic study of how to respond to enemy attack, harassment, and fear. Now, of course, when I'm speaking about that, I'm talking about temptation. I'm talking about the devil who likes to run around and wreak havoc in people's lives. Anybody in this room honest enough to say, yes, Pastor Kevin, once in 1950 I had a temptation? Okay. All right. So I think I'm talking to the right crowd. Every now and then we have temptation. Every now and then we are frustrated. Every now and then we're tempted toward anger, or we're tempted to give ourselves to the wrong things. And so that's what the devil loves to do, run around and wreak havoc. How many of you understand the devil loves to wreak havoc in a family? If you can divide a family, then there's no living testimony before the world. The family is the microcosm of the church, the example of the church. Husbands, love your wives as who? Some of you guys are looking awfully somber as I quote that scripture. Let's try that again, fellas. Husbands, love your wives. Okay. Yeah, you didn't get any better that time, so let's go on. All right, so, but there's havoc that's wrecked in the body of Christ because the enemy wants to create attack and harassment and fear. Let's learn some lessons from the scripture, and we're beginning at verse 1 of 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And I'm going to begin looking at a responsive heart. Jehoshaphat, the leader, has a responsive heart. And so often, as the leader turns to God, the people follow his lead. How many believe the leadership in our country needs God? We need to be in prayer for the leaders of our country. And it doesn't matter what party line anybody's at or not line. It doesn't matter. We need God in our land. We need a revival. We need a movement of the Spirit of God to sweep across our land. We need to be freshly bathed with the blood of Jesus. So, we're looking at a responsive heart as Jehoshaphat turns to God. And we'll begin in verse 3. I guess I'm skipping to verse 2. First two verses, I summarized them. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. And it was all because in verses 1 and 2, you see these great armies amassing against them. And the reason they amassed against them, and I'm going to read verse 2 now, is because they want to take that land. A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria. They're in Hazer, that's why I skipped this one. They're in Hazazon Tamar. How do you like that? Say that with me. Hazazon Tamar. If you say it with me, we're all in it together, even if I said it incorrectly, which is Engedi. All right, now verse 3. And Jehoshaphat feared, and he set himself to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a what? A fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together. Judah came together. The king cried out to God. He set his heart to seek the Lord, and everybody joined in with him. So Judah gathered together to ask, say it with me, help from the Lord. And from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Pretty good response, huh? Pretty good response. Now we're going to see the king and the people dependent on God. How many of you know it's not a shame to be dependent on God? We don't like that word. We're Americans. We like the word independent. But what God is after so often in our lives is the issue of control. Will you depend on God? Anybody wrestle with any issues of control in your life this week? You terrible sinners, you. That's where the issue so often is. And I've shared my own story many times, my situation with my wife when she was sick for so long, just wrestling with God. And God said, Kevin, I'm in control. You're not. So, Jehoshaphat's prevailing prayer. And what does he do? Look at this. This is really great. He reminds God of his promises. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah in Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of nations? I love this. He's kind of pleading with God, but kind of taking him to his task. Hey, aren't you the guy in charge? Anybody ever feel like that? Hey, yoo-hoo! Don't you see me? Aren't you in charge? Do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? And they dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence for your name is in this temple. How many want the name of Jesus in this place? And cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. God, I'm reminding you of who you are. Look at us. Look at the affliction. Come on, God. We cry out. Hear us. I am certain, as however many people are in this room this morning, in some area or another, every one of us has a cry in our heart before God for something. I believe the Lord allows that in our lives to keep bringing us to Himself. Otherwise, it would be too easy to get comfortable and lazy in my walk with the Lord. I changed that. I didn't want you to think I was calling you lazy. Lazy in my walk with the Lord. It's too easy if things are always too comfortable. Jehoshaphat then faces reality. I love the fact he doesn't deny the problem. He's got reality that he's facing here. He's surrounded by an amassed army that is ready to wipe them off the planet. Verse 10. Now here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt. Lord, you didn't let us touch these folks. But they turned. We turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are, verse 11, rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. Now that sounds an awful lot like what you and I say, which is this. This is not fair, God. Anything in life not very fair? Anything in your life not very fair? Verse 12, O our God, will you not judge them? Take care of this, Lord. For we have no power against this great multitude that's coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Now all Judah, with their little ones, their wives, their children, stood before the Lord. Now, God answers dependent people. Anybody in this room dependent on the Lord? God answers people who cry out to Him. You may not always hear it immediately. It may take a little while. But God promises us, if we will humble ourselves before Him and cry out, He will hear our cry. Verse 14. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mathaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph in the midst of the assembly. And he said, listen, all of you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat. So a prophecy is going to come forward. Thus says the Lord to you. Say it with me, please. Do not be afraid nor dismayed. One more time. Say that, please, with me again. Do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude. Now say this next phrase with me, and I'd like you to really boom it out. For the battle is not yours, but God's. I said the battle is not yours, but God. Ever had a time in your life where you gave your difficulty to God and then snatched it right back? Here, Lord, you take it. Go ahead, take it. Sometimes that's what it's like in our soul. I'm still agitated. I gave it to God. And the Lord says, then let me take care of it. The battle is the Lord's. It's not yours. Verse 16, tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. What other time did you see that verse used? How many remember? How about when the children of Israel were at the Red Sea, and Egypt was bearing down on them, the enemies set to destroy, to decimate them, and they're full of fear. And God says, stand still and watch the salvation of your Lord. Says that through Moses. Remember? Here we are again. Position yourselves. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. Turn to each other. Say, God is with you. We need to be reminded, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against him. One more time, say it with me. For the Lord is with you. Next, believe and obey. Believe and obey. Verse 18. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel, voices loud and high. So they bow before God, they begin to break out in song, their hands are raised, their faces are enlightened, and the burden's gone, and they're still praising God, they're worshiping God, you're able, thank you for your word. Just like we respond this morning, when a prophecy comes forward, it's a conversation between the bridegroom and the bride. So when the gifts of the Spirit are expressed and God says something to us, one of us needs to respond and lead the rest of us in a responsive prayer. God, we hear you. God, we respond to you. God, we believe you. Lord, we will set our hearts. How many know, as you set your mouth, so your life often will go? Because out of the heart, the mouth speaks. All right. Now, this is interesting, isn't it? Word of the Lord came, and they just plain and responded. How many of them do you understand? The armies were still out there. The armies didn't go away. The armies didn't leave. They didn't say, oh, well, now you got a prophecy. Yay, I'm leaving. They didn't say that. The people simply believed God. We live by faith and not by sight, the Bible says. But these people praised God like it was a done deal. Church, let the focus of our heart and the attitude of our life be, you say it, Lord, though I may not see it yet, I believe you. God says, I've redeemed you. I see you in the midst of your situation. I know right where you are. I'm the deliverer. And sometimes we are tempted to say, I don't feel it. And God says, it's all right, I want you to receive it. It's in my word. I've spoken it to your heart. And these people praised God like it was a done deal. Now, obedience may look foolish, but God will honor his word. Verse 20, so they rose early in the morning. They went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God. Please say this with me. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established, strengthened, founded, grounded, immovable. Not tossed about with every wind of doctrine, as the New Testament tells us, but established in the Lord. Believe in the Lord, you'll be established. Watch this. Believe His prophets, and you shall prosper. God still speaks through His people, doesn't He? And when He had consulted with the people, He appointed those. I love this story. He appointed those who should sing to the Lord, who should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for His mercy endures forever. Now, did you get what that said? How'd you like to be in the choir that Sunday? You know, we have three or four choirs. I think it's the other group's turn. Josh Smith says, no, I got faith. And the choir member says, but I don't. He says, no. Listen, if God's word is true, we're going to live it. In the midst of days of despair, in the midst of economic chaos, in the midst of fighting, everywhere through these communities and all over this spirit, as a spirit throughout our region, people want to pick a fight. I got a bone to pick with you. Hey, I got a blessing to give to you. What's your sign? The sign of the cross. I came to bring Jesus to you and His blessing. So in the midst of all that, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to keep on singing. I'm going to keep on praising Him. I'm going to keep on lifting my voice and tell the world that Jesus saves. I had an opportunity this week. I don't know how many of these notes I'm going to get finished, and what I don't finish today, we'll come back and visit next week, okay? So you come back for part B. I got a call from a lady this week. Sweet, sweet lady. Who wanted me to come pray for her husband who was on his deathbed. And so I said, of course I'll come. And she and I had a sweet conversation, and she had indicated that he was fearful, but she wanted me to help him make his transition. And the difficulty was, part of the difficulty was he had been heavily loaded with morphine. And so there wasn't much communication, but I had an opportunity to pray with him. But where I'm heading with this is I received such a burden, because all I wanted to do was love these people and help them. But church, I want you to know that I believe Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by the Son. I'm not here to bash people that don't believe that. I love people. The Bible says in meekness, instructing those who oppose themselves. Some people don't believe that. Am I going to hate them because of it? No. I'm going to love them. I'm going to keep reaching. I'm going to keep on singing. I'm going to keep on reaching out. I'm going to keep on sharing that Jesus saves. And I prayed for the man, and his wife was really sweet. And then I talked to him about Jesus. And I said, now, are you ready to pray? Would you like to pray with me? And this elderly man on his deathbed looked at me and he said, no. And I said, I thought I didn't hear right. You know, what was that? Excuse me. He said, no, I don't believe Jesus is the Son of God. And all I could do was love them and comfort them, because there weren't any ears to hear anything different. And I said, I'm here if you want any prayer. I'm here if you want help. I'm here if you'd like me to come back again. But I prayed that his heart would open to see Jesus. And I came away with such a burden. For here we are in a complacent society that's been laden with benefits and provision. And the greatest anger that we achieve in our life is when the stock market falls or somebody plays around with our funds. When instead the greatest anger should be reserved for the enemy of our souls, who has deceived people so eyes cannot open, and we are here to help stop people from going to hell and usher them into the presence of Jesus, who loves them. Now, Pastor Kevin, don't you love people of other faiths, other religions? Yes, I do. Love them. But do I believe they're wrong? Yes, I do. Listen, I wouldn't be a very good Christian if I didn't believe what the Bible says. So I'm praying for revival. And I'm praying a spirit of hunger sweeps around this earth, and here specifically, that by the time someone is facing death's door, they will realize that Jesus has the answers. Say it with me, would you? John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world. So now let's see. Let's rehearse. Let's back that up. Striding, beating them down, telling them you're terrible. No. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For he sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now the very next verse says, if you don't give your life to the Lord, you're condemned already. So there's no question. There's heaven, there's hell, there's truth, there's error. But we're here to be loving examples and life-imparting vessels that give Jesus away. How many in this room want to give Jesus away? Oh God, move by your Spirit. You think we need revival? Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. I said, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. So they get the choir together. Now let's watch what happens. Do you really believe his word? I mean, we got to now leave the results to God. If you really believe the Word of God, if you really believe what the Bible says, it affects how you live, what you say, what you do. I'm sorry, I can't help you if you don't want my Jesus. I can love you, I can do everything naturally. If you want spiritual help, the answer is Jesus. I'm going to keep on singing and telling people Jesus saves and He loves. And He's got the good news and He's the answer. Come on, somebody say it with me. Jesus is the answer. Now when they began to sing and to praise, the enemy's still out there. Devil's still there to harass, deceive, create chaos. The devil is still there to steal, maim, to destroy, to take life. He's a thief and a liar and a murderer, the Bible says. And that's what he wants to do. And he came to do that to God's people. And God's people began to praise him. They said, wait a minute. I'm feeling mighty bad, but I know my God is mighty good. I'm feeling there's trouble all around. My friends, you got trouble right here. Okay? There's trouble all around. But God is good. Jesus is real. Now when they began to sing and praise, look what the Lord did. The Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir who had come against Judah. And they were what? I said they were what? They were defeated, for the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. The confusion set in. The devil is the author of confusion, not God. And when you begin to praise Jesus, any confusion has to begin to flee. The devil must flee when you begin to praise God. Resist the devil, he will flee from you. Praise him. The enemy cannot stay around in the atmosphere of praise. Verse 24. So when Judah, and Judah means praise, by the way, the name Judah means praise. And when you take a look at the city up in verse 2 where they came to, the one we all pronounced together, that name means division. Division. Confusion. Chaos surrounding the people of God. So when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness as they'd begun to praise, they looked toward the multitude and there were their dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. Their faith now was confirmed by sight. We live by faith, not by sight. Now we're going to worship God and watch what He does. And faith is confirmed by sight. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away their spoil, they found among them an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies and precious jewelry, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. They were 3 days gathering the spoil because there was so much. Did you hear that? Victory? The devil had to flee. The enemies were gone. And God provided for his people over and above. We serve a God who does over and above all we can ask or think, the Bible says. On the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Baraka. For there they blessed the Lord. They what? Blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of that place was called the Valley of Baraka until this day. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem, with Jehoshaphat in front of them, to get back to Jerusalem with joy. For the Lord had made them rejoice over their enemies. And one further thought as we conclude 2 Chronicles 20. Begin and end with praise. When we go to God, the Bible says, come with thanksgiving. And we bring our prayers, requests, with thanksgiving. And then we praise Him for the answers, even if we don't see them yet. We begin to praise Him for the answers that He brings. So they came to Jerusalem, verse 28, with stringed instruments, harps and trumpets to the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. Then the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest all around. It doesn't matter if people all around us don't like the worship of Jesus. It doesn't matter if they don't like upraised hands. It doesn't matter if the devil doesn't like it or if accusations want to come. It doesn't matter. We're going to keep on singing and keep on praising God anyway. Somebody say amen. It doesn't matter if people don't like the Bible. We're going to keep on reading and trusting and studying and going. It doesn't matter if people don't want prayer. We're going to keep loving them and praying and serving. And we're going to keep bringing the presence of God to this region because God needs to come bring a revival and multitudes need to come to Jesus. Oh God, we want to see revival before all of this is done. We want to see You move in the Spirit. We want to see people healed, touched, delivered. We want to see broken hearts healed and ministered to by the presence of God. We're in a community where people get ill and people pass away. And we're in a community where there's hopelessness and discouragement and despair. And we're here to say, we love You because Jesus loves you. We're here to tell you the good news is Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We're here to praise Him anyway. Somebody say with me, I'm gonna. That's G-U-N-N-A. I'm gonna. Praise Him. Anyway. Say it one more time with me. I'm gonna. Praise Him. Anyway. Let's stand. Save those transparencies, Pat. We'll use those next week. Okay. And Elaine, would you come? Let's finish. Team, why did you come? Let's finish with that song. I'm going to keep on singing. I'm going to keep on shouting. How many love Jesus in this room? I do too. Father, we thank You for Your good news. We thank You that You are merciful and kind and loving and gracious, Lord. And our prayer is that You'll sweep across this room this morning. Heal, life, encourage, give courage, strength to each person here. And Father, as we go forward from this place, we go forward to be radiant blessers of Your presence. Lord, we're going to praise You anyway. When the news is bad in the world, the news is good in God. The Scripture has good news. Jesus has good news. We thank You, Lord, and pray that You will bless, strengthen, and encourage Your people in Jesus' name. And all the people said,
amen.
If you're here this morning, you've never given your life to Jesus, I urge you, let this be the day that you do so. If you need healing in your body, we believe that Jesus heals. We've already prayed for several, and we believe for God to continue to strengthen His people.
Yes,
go out and bless one another.